So, in complete fairness to Megan, she was, you guys may have recognized that this is my third talk on a relatively similar subject, and I tried my hardest yesterday to make those two talks somewhat different, and I was laying in bed last night thinking, how do I tell the story a third way, a different way? And I struggled with that, but Megan was the first one to actually ask me. And she's the one that gets maybe a little bit of recycled material. But what I wanted to visit with you about is the development of a web-based tool designed for sire selection. And that's not just bull selection. I emphasize sire because it very well could be semen selection as well. So as I think about the decision-making process relative to buying a bull or making a semen purchase, I think about it like this. And I... obviously, I put together this graphic because it's not well done. So the first recommendation is if you're buying live bulls, buy them with a head on. But I think most commercial producers, in some form or fashion, identify a breed or breeds to utilize. And from there, they probably make those decisions based on either perceived strengths or hopefully... quantifiable differences through research, like the breed differences that we're aware of through research at the U.S. Meat Animal Research Center. And from there, they probably choose breeders within that respective breed category, and that could be chosen based on reputation or popularity, or chosen based on the value that that program provides. Partly through the additional services that they provide, maybe the guarantee, the potential for helping market feeder cattle, those kinds of things. Then once those things are identified, in my experience, then they start considering the individual sire. And the individual bull could be valued based on visual appraisal, qualitative traits like color, horn polled status, status of being a carrier for a genetic defect, phenotypes, and what I mean by phenotypes are the actual or the adjusted weights or ultrasound data within contemporary group ratios, EPD, and then perhaps breed or organizational specific indexes. So it's a decision process that is made annually by a large number of commercial producers. But in my mind, it's a relatively complex and cumbersome process to go through. And particularly when you get to the end and what I call data, and you'll notice I was careful to say data and not information, because I think that some of those things I've listed up there aren't very informational. So they don't really help us make a sound decision. So my thesis is that this is far too complicated. There are a lot of bull sales, and there are a lot of bulls in each sale. And those of you that have been to larger bull sales that may sell 500 or 600 bulls, even from that one simple example, you know that you can't make a decision on the fly about what bull you want to bid on. Right? There's just not the time to make an educated decision. More than that, there are actually too many EPD. And I will couch that with, I'm not saying that EPD aren't useful. I'm not saying that we don't need to continue to develop the list, particularly as we think about adding genetic predictors for traits that drive profit in the commercial sector. What I am saying, though, is as we have those many, that number of genetic predictors, it is challenging, if not impossible, for a commercial producer to dig through all of that and make a decision towards improving net profit. In many cases, those EPD are breed specific. So if you're comparing, an example, an Angus against a Hereford bull, they're not directly comparable. It's apples to oranges. So there needs to be an adjustment made to make those comparable. The other thing is a commercial producer, hopefully, would be taking advantage of heterosis. And so again, depending on the cow base, total value of an Angus sire compared to a Hereford sire is not just their additive genetic merit based on EPDs, but also the potential for the heterotic value in the corresponding calves, right? So that needs to be accounted for as well. And thinking about doing all of that by simply perusing a bull sale catalog is near impossible. There are economic indexes that exist to help alleviate the cumbersome nature of sorting through all those EPDs. They're provided by the majority of our beef breed organizations and some independent organizations. Although they are extremely robust across the economic assumptions that we make, they are static, so meaning that in general we can't perturb them based on our own enterprise. And certainly they are not comparable across breeds and don't contemplate the non-additive effect of a mating decision. So we need to somehow simplify this process. I've always contended that we have a lot of useful tools to make genetic change in the beef industry. The reason why we lag behind in terms of genetic gain is because we don't implement the tools perhaps as well as we might ought. So a simplified strategy really centers on the need to clearly identify breeding objectives, so the things that are net profit drivers to a particular enterprise. So do I keep my own replacement heifers or do I not? Do I sell at weaning or do I retain ownership through the feed yard? If I retain ownership, how are those cattle marketed at the end? Those kinds of things. And we need to reduce data into information, the things that actually help us make a genetic selection decision, and then use that information to make those decisions. Moreover, we need to understand that bull buying or semen purchasing should be an economic-based decision. And that's where I'm not confident we always do that. Those of you that sell bulls, do you think the people, when they raised their hand, thought through what's the ROI of that decision, right? If we wanted them to think about it, we wouldn't sell bulls at auction, right? There's a reason why we take advantage of the excitement. So we've done a great job of turning data into knowledge. The plethora of phenotypes, pedigree, genomic data, and it obviously continues to build, and we've turned that into knowledge vis-a-vis EPDs. I believe the next task is turning that extended list of tools, the EPDs, actually into decisions. And I believe that there's help needed in order to do that. So that's really the charge of the project that I'm going to discuss. Maybe just a reminder of why we need selection indices. This is a quote from Rick Borden in the late 1990s. Obviously a famous animal breeder from Colorado State. And Mark, I really like this quote. About why we need selection indices, there's no easily accessible objective way for breeders, particularly breeders in the beef and sheep industries where ownership is diverse and production environments vary a great deal, to use these predictions intelligently. By these predictions, he was referring to EPDs. And he wasn't saying that beef producers are stupid. He's saying we made it too hard, right? And that we need to make it simpler. So what is a selection index? Well, in a nutshell, it's obviously a tool to help inform a multi-trait selection decision, considering the implicit trade-offs between value of one trait versus another. And it's based on the breeding objective, the identification of what the profit drivers are to an enterprise, economic parameters, so the costing of a unit of feed, the value of a pound of gain, an example. The relationships among traits, because they're not independent, so we need to contemplate the relationships among traits. And the population, or if we're thinking about a customizable index, the herd phenotypic means. Why is that important? If I retain ownership through the feed yard, and my carcass weights, on average, are 1,100 pounds, Megan retains ownership through the feed yard, and on average, her carcass weight is 600 pounds. We're both in a problematic area, aren't we? But at vastly different ends of the scale. So for her, she needs to improve carcass weight, increase it. Me, I've got to watch about getting it any bigger, right? So that's why herd means actually can matter. And it's designed, indices are designed to improve commercial level profitability. That's really a fundamental concept that I think is misunderstood. So these tools supplied right now, an example, by breed associations or seed stock suppliers are not tools designed to improve the areas where an organization may think they're weak. They're tools designed to improve profit of the commercial cattle industry. That's what they're meant for. So not to be confused with organizational or breed-specific goals. They were first really published by a breed association in the U.S. in 2004. That was the Charlet Association. So 15 years is actually old, but old hat to other industries like swine and poultry. So here's the, it's emerging technology, so I think I'm given a right to show just a little bit of algebra. This is the general form of the index, which would have been published actually in the 1940s, right, 1942, 1943. The B here is the actual index weight, so the weighting of the EPD. This P inverse is, in this case, the phenotypic variance covariances between the traits that are actually in the index. The G, then, is the genetic covariances between the traits that are in our index and the traits that we really wish to improve. And those don't have to be one-to-one. So maybe I really wish to improve a trait for which I don't have an EPD. But maybe I have an EPD that's correlated to that thing I really wish to improve. So they don't have to be one-to-one. The Vs, then, are the economic values of the traits in my goal that I've identified as being profit drivers. We've actually modified this because we don't apply these indices to phenotypes. We apply them to EPDs. So what I've changed here is instead of the P, I now have another G, and so that's the genetic covariances between the traits in the index, because we want to take into account there is a genetic relationship amongst these. I could further change this and say that the index weights are simply equal to the economic values. And the assumption I make when I do this is that every trait in the goal that I really want to improve has a corresponding EPD. So when I do that, it becomes actually this simple. I would contend that this is rarely the case, but oftentimes we force it to be the case. And I'll give you an example of that here. So if on the left-hand side, those are the traits that are profit drivers. This is a terminal index. Shouldn't be keeping back replacement heifers. So the things that are drivers are carcass weight, quality, yield grade, feed intake, yardage. I want the cattle to be harvested as soon as they can be. Mortality and morbidity. Right-hand side are the traits for which I have EPD. So DMI is dry matter intake. Maybe I have a days to finish EPD. Obviously, carcass weight, ribeye area, and fat are the components of yield grade. Assume a constant KPH. But what EPDs do I have for mortality and morbidity? Nothing. I might also contend I really don't have any great indicators of that either. So the temptation is then to just say, well, I'm just going to forget those traits, remove them from the breeding objective, because I have nothing that I can relate them to in the index. So that's the case where I was saying we force this, and it's really not true. Why does that actually matter? It matters relative to the accuracy of the index. The accuracy is really the correlation between our breeding objective and the index. And so one thing that impacts that is the concordance between the traits and the objective and the traits in the index. So if I forget in this example mortality and morbidity or even in the goal, then it looks like I have greater concordance between those two than I actually do. And so it appears then my index accuracy is actually higher than it really is. So this is the example here of index accuracy. R is the correlation, H is the breeding goal, I is actually the index in the top then. Of course, we have the covariance between the index and our breeding objective in the bottom. Then we have the variances of those two things. So to increase the accuracy of our index, another way of saying to increase the relationship between what I'm selecting on and changes in net profit, I can do so by increasing the accuracy of EPD, ensuring that I have EPD for all the traits that are truly profit drivers, Or the other thing is to ensure that the index weights are actually economically derived. So oftentimes when people think about customizable indexes, they think that, well, I'm just going to kind of by the back of my pants say that this trait's worth 20% and this trait's worth 30%, even though maybe it has no economic relevance. As soon as you start to do that, you decrease the accuracy of the index. As soon as you do that, you decrease the accuracy of the index. Or in other words, the opportunity cost for having made those back-of-the-pants decisions becomes fairly large. So to ensure that those things are economically driven, we really need to consider investment thought process in terms of sire selection. So producers often face the problem of obtaining best bulls for their operation given the setting, but best is a relative concept. So it is possible that a less desirable bull could be become the preferred choice over the better bull if the cost differential is large enough. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? So I go to a bull sale, I have them listed, my top five choices, but because of the cost differential, I say the bull that was fifth on the list should now be number one because he has the actual potential to return more to me given what he costs. So here's an example of how an index works. So bulls A and B both have index values of 176. This is in net profit per exposure. Let's say that I'm going to breed those bulls to 30 cows a year. I'm going to keep the bull for 4 years. That's 120 exposures. The difference in their index value is 24. So I do the arithmetic, and it's about a $2,900 difference in net profit between those two sires, if I use them in accordance with the assumptions of the index. What happens, though, if bull A costs me $6,000 more to buy? Was that the right buy? The only way that becomes a good buy is if I can spread him over a whole lot more cows, right? If I can get more exposures then, and then increase the total value difference between the two bulls. Any of you think about buying bulls that way? Yeah. So I think oftentimes how much I pay for a bull is dependent on how much cash I have on hand, which may come from the cattle enterprise or it may come from another enterprise. Maybe I cut $8 corn this year, so I'm going to spend more on bulls because I could do that or pay taxes, and nobody likes to pay taxes. But we really need to think about bull buying decisions as the capital investment that they are. So obviously a long listing of the indices we have available in the beef industry now. If you represent a breed and I forgot your index up here, I apologize. It wasn't with malice aforethought. I've delineated them into those that are terminal in nature, those that I consider general purpose, meaning that they do contemplate the retention of females. And so in a lot of cases, what we did was we tried to condense a very long list of EPDs with a fairly long list of indexes. So we made it simpler. Indexes are still very good to use, but I'd argue perhaps there are a few shortcomings. So although those tools are extremely useful and most certainly the preferred method of selection by the scientific community, few issues are they're not directly comparable across breed. They assume constant environmental conditions and marketing strategies for all producers. And the decision quantification is in an additive genetic context only, so only contemplating variation in EPDs, not contemplating not only the differences between breeds, but the differences in the choice depending on the amount of heterosis I may get. And they're not engaging, so I would think one limitation relative to the adoption of indexes is they seem like a black box. And anytime things seem like a black box, I think people are hesitant to use them. So we thought about these shortcomings, and admittedly others have taken a run at trying to alleviate some of this in the past. So decision support tools that address a lot of those scenarios have been proposed before. DESI, anyone ever use DESI? And then probably the Colorado beef cow production model, probably looking the same direction. Yep. And I might contend that were not widely adopted due to the level of complexity and detail that were required to fully parameterize those models. So only the commercial producers that had the best handle on unit cost of production could really make use of these tools. So the proposed solution we're calling iGenDec. This is not my artwork. It would be a lot worse if it looked like a cave painting if it came from me. But we're I for internet, and then genetic decisions. So our proposed work, we were funded the grant started in April of 2018. It's a USDA CARE grant. That's Critical Ag Research and Extension. And actually before this, 2 years prior to having submitted this, we took another run at this with a larger group of people and did not get that grant. That grant that I failed at was a $3 million award. This is a $300,000 award. So we pared back the budget a little bit. And interestingly, when I submitted this, I was really interested in this program because they said the success rate was something like 30%, which is amazingly high, right? Most success rate for competitive grants are about 5 to 10%. So when I heard a 30% success rate, I thought, yeah, I'll put effort into that. Well, they advertised that to everyone, and so they got 10 times the number of applications they usually get, which decreased the success rate. But we were lucky and got it. And so our objectives were simply to develop a web-based decision support tool to aid beef cattle producers through this sire selection process, and as part of it, to train key technology adopters in kind of a train-the-trainer approach so they could help cascade the use of this technology throughout the industry, and then also fill existing knowledge gaps where we don't really have good estimates of breed differences or heterotic effects. So we really framed three use cases for this tool. One is commercial buyers wishing to buy germplasm, bulls or semen, seed stock sellers wishing to put animals on offer, or seed stock buyers wishing to buy from other seed stock vendors, so within seed stock trade. And the reason why we frame three use cases is because each one of these classes is going to have different needs from such a tool. So if you think at a high level, what would actually occur from a user, they identify a use case, one of the three options I chose before, and then answer questions to help identify what their breeding objective actually is. From there, once a breeding objective is identified, we can identify what the goal traits actually are, the drivers of profit for them. How those then become weighted are dependent on the herd-level data that person enters, costing a feed, the value of gain, what their average sale weight is, what their average cow weight is, those kinds of herd-level data. And nobody is capturing your name with what you enter, so you don't have to lie about how your cattle graded or how big your cows are. And then also with that breed composition of your cows. From then, you can identify breeds or breeders which you want to apply your index to. So an example, if you're interested in a particular bull sale, you could upload, or your seed stock vendor could upload, the listing of bulls with their EPDs. Your index could be applied against it. For participating breed organizations, through a secure programming interface, we could automatically grab in real time the EPDs from that database and theoretically apply your index across all animals in there. Obviously, you wouldn't want to do it across all animals, but that could be done. So then that returns a listing of bulls and the index value generated by the information that you entered, which then gives you an estimate of the net profit difference per exposure between that listing of bulls. An additional feature is risk. And so while not our primary aim, it is something that we wish to integrate. And so the thought is that some people are more risk adverse than others. So think about investing for retirement. Some of you probably have 401ks, and you may have visited with a financial planner who tried to assess your aversion to risk. So are you willing to lose a little bit of money in the short term to try to maximize gain in the long term? Or are you one of those people that said, put it in a CD, right? I just never want to see this number get smaller. That's related to your risk. And so some people may have aversion to risk related to beef cattle sire selection decisions. So an example, maybe calving ease economically shouldn't be weighted that heavily, but you have an aversion for whatever reason of the thought of having to pull a calf. And so that's risk related. So those are things we'd like to include in here as well. So the outcomes, obviously a listing of candidate sires and the associated customizable index values that would then be comparable across breed and conditioned on the user input that would take into account the additive, the EPD, and the non-additive heterotic genetic value. The other thing, if you wished, for whatever reason, to not use the optimal index that was provided and your risk aversion changed the index weights, or you wanted to defer to what we call a desired gains approach, meaning I don't care necessarily what the economics said I should do, I just really, really want to increase this trait. That's desired gains. So if you decided then to move to weightings that were not optimal, we're proposing to show what the opportunity cost is for having made that decision. So fine, you didn't want to use the optimal index. Here's what the change or the potential loss in net profit from that decision actually is. So what this really does is allows for selection on net profit for an individual enterprise, but it requires obviously the users to be profit motivated. And I mentioned the desired gains approach. So again, desired gains, and there's places if you're a seed stock buyer, a desired gains approach could be reasonable. If you say that the great example is the docility of my cattle is problematic, and if I don't change that, I'm not going to be in the business much longer. That becomes a desired gains approach, and there's logic in that kind of thing. You guys are probably familiar with concept of residual feed intake. That's a restricted index, which is really a desired gains index. So same kind of thing. So in conclusion, the impetus for this project is not the belief that currently available selection indices are so inherently flawed that they're of little value. That's not our belief at all. We believe what's out there right now are extremely useful tools, but we think we can improve the decision by contemplating breed differences and heterotic differences, and we can increase the adoption and utilization of them by engaging the end user in the development of their own index. So the other primary objective is combining a lot of partial solutions that we know through research into a very easy-to-use package so that commercial bull buyers can take advantage of all the science that we know. So part of this, I mentioned that it'd be a crossbreed, which means that there's a crossbreed EPD adjustments being applied in the background. So our proposal is this becomes the mechanism for release of annual updates to a crossbreed EPD adjustment factors to the industry. So no longer an annual release at BIF in paper or web-based format. The release is actually through this mechanism, which allows us to update it in real time as changes occur to national cattle evaluation. So final thoughts. We really want to encourage people to contemplate bull buying decisions as the capital investment that they actually are. And our goal is to enable those decisions to help alleviate what I consider the cumbersome, if not the near impossible, task of combining all partial solutions into one optimized decision. So with that, I'd like to thank you. This is the full name of the project, which we really don't use anymore. And then, of course, recognize USDA for their funding support. The first slide had the names of the people that are engaged in the project: Bruce Golden from Theta Solutions, Bob Weber from Kansas State, and Mark Thalman, Larry Keene, and Warren Snelling from the U.S. Meat Animal Research Center. Our plan by the first quarter of 2020 is to have a fully functioning beta version that we could begin to do some limited releases, perhaps to our advisory board members as well as beef breed organizations who wish to participate, to begin playing, if you will, with the tool before we begin to make it more broadly available. So with that, Megan, that's what I've got for them, and I'd be happy to take any questions.